And we're continuing on in looking at Psukah Zimra specifically, the last five Hallelujahs. And we're now at Perek Kuf Mem Chet, 148. And we'll look at it, and I think probably worth looking at it inside. But to say that we've talked about that these five Parakim are basically introduced by Ashrei. Each of the last five Psukim of Ashrei corresponds in overall theme to each one of these Parakim over here. And this one corresponds to the Pasuk of Ratzon Yirei Av Yaseh, Beshavatam Yishma Av Yoshiem. God will do the will, will fulfill the desires of those who fear him, and their prayers he will answer and save them. And so I'm claiming that's what the theme of this parak is, about those who are Yarei Hashem and their tefillot. It doesn't say anything a whole lot about that. If you look at the whole parak, it's all about how the universe praises God. About Yarei, I'm not until the last pasuk. You look at the whole thing, and this is the prior version. It starts out, Hallelujah, Hallelujah Hashem and Hashemayim, praise God from the heavens, Hallelujah Baramim, praise Him on high, Komoach, Hallelujah Komoachav, praise God, all of his angels, Halu Kol Tzva'av, praise him, all the hosts, that's all about that heaven, Halu Shemesh V'Yareach, praise God, oh sun and moon, again, still talking about the heavens, Halu Kol Chofayar, praise him, all stars, Halu Shemei Hashemayim, praise him, the highest heavens, the heavens of heavens, V'Mayim Asher Ma'al Shemayim, and praise him, the waters that are above the heavens. On Bereshit, you have the rakia, the firmament separating the water below and water above. And all of them, Yahalu Shem Hashem, they should praise God, because he commanded and they were created. And set them up so they exist forever, an order that will never change. Part one, that's the heavens. Part two, Halut Hashem in Aret, praise God on earth. Then we're going to go through all the things in earth that praise God. The sea monsters, the sea creatures, the whales, the cosmos in all the depths, Eshu Barad, fire, hail, shelag, titor, snow and smoke. We've had lots of snow here. We know about that. Ruach Sa'ara, Sagbaro, the storm and wind that do his word, Harima Kol Gevaot, mountains, hills, Eitz Pri, the trees. We're going from sort of geology to the biology, the trees. All the fruit trees and all the lumber trees. I have a kol bema, animals, domesticated animals, remus, sibor, not enough, creepy crawly things, and birds, all of them, to praise God. Malchei Eretz, v'cholomim, the kings of the land and all the nations. Sarim, v'chol shafte Eretz, princes, judges, bacharim, begam tulot, young men, young women, zekenim, narim, the old and the young, all of them, yalu Hashem, Hashem. All of them should praise God, Yiskav Shema Odo, for his name is exalted alone. Odo Ezra Shemayim, and in case you're pronouncing it, it's not Hodu, it's Hodo. Hold on, there's an O there, don't get that wrong. Hodo Ezra Shemayim, his glory, his splendor covers Eretz Shemayim on heavens and earth. That's the whole parah. The last pasuk is, Vayarom Ker Lamo, he literally raises the horn, raises the pride of his people, his praise to all of his pious ones. That's now in the Yeriyab. That's now about what says Hashem the Yeriyab, the Bnei Yisrael and Gravo, to Bnei Yisrael, who are his people, hallelujah. We have to figure out how it all fits together because it's all about the universe, so it's very scientific, praise God. And now we end, and just have one puzzle at the end about, well, it's special, Bnei Yisrael are special. Look at that. We got to fit it all together. Make this smaller so you can see it on. There we go. And if you look at the parallelism again, first half is Shemayim, heavens, second half is Eretz. And it looks very symmetric, but it's not quite. So I lined up the Psukim one phrase at a time. Halut Hashem in Shemayim, Halut Hashem in Eretz. Praise God in the heavens, praise God on earth. And it ends the same way, Yalu Hashem Hashem. They will all praise God. Yalu Hashem Hashem, they will all praise the name of God. As Rabbi Baumol, who I quoted before, Avi Baumol, written a book on Tehillim in Tzila. He's like now the chief rabbi of Krakow. We've talked about this poetry of prayer. And he points out that the symmetry there is there to convey harmony, but the point is that there's the asymmetry that tells us what to look for. We look at the symmetry, and then we look at there's a big gap in there that's not in the other side that sat here. My sister says that she met him in Krakow. Okay, very good.
Right.
Smart guy, nice guy. I was like, okay, very good. I only know things, but I can read them online, or I have books about them. That's my only reality. But he points out that there is this lack of symmetry here that's worth paying attention to. That the heavens part goes between sort of the spiritual heavens, the Moachim and the Shemei Shemayim, the highest heavens, Ma'ayim HaShemayim, Shemayim, and sort of the physical sky, what Aristotle called the translunar world, the perfection of the sun, the moon, the stars, that's there. Those are all praising God. And on the Eretz side, we have the mountains, the weather, the geology or the physics, and we have the biology as well, the Chaya, the Behema, the Eitz Peri, the trees, the animals, the fish, all of those praising God. And then we have this other thing in here. From Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Bet, is human beings. That's what, there is nothing on the heaven side that corresponds to that. The kings, the nations, the young and old, boys and girls, all of them praising God. In fact, it was a cute little, one of these little sort of gematria letter kinds of things about this. About that section there that starts with Malchei Eretz V'cholumim, the kings of the earth, and all the nations, Darim V'chol Shefte Eretz. And I have no idea who Leah Pearl Schaller is. Anyone know who that is? But she wrote this was a book that Leora got for her bat mitzvah that I thought was nice. It's very, very Chabadi, the illustrated fairy tale. But she goes through all the Sefer Tehillim, but says that Malchei Eretz V'cholumim, Darim V'chol Shefte Eretz, the last letters spell out Sadi Lamed Mem Yud, sell me, my image. I thought that was cute. Kind of a hint there. I don't know if it's intentional or not, but the idea that what we've got here in this gap, that we're putting human beings, is something different. The universe praises Hashem by being the universe and obeying the laws, and then human beings are different because they praise Hashem, but Selam Elokim. We do something different, right? What does it mean that that human beings were created B'Tzelem Elokim in the image of God? The Rosh Hashanah always translates as the image of godliness. I would translate the way the Meshech Chachma does. Naseh Adam B'Tzelemenu, B'Tzelem Elokim, the image of God, He Abichira, is free will. The universe obeys the laws of physics. That's it. No choices. We make moral choices. B'li Teva Mechriach, without any predetermined nature. Our will, our desire is what she is free, and we can make moral choices. A lot of what we do is not free will, it's just kind of built in, but we do have that opportunity. We know that free will is a little contraction, it's a little piece of God within us. Hashem leaves space in the world for us to act if we want. That's what makes our praise of Hashem different from all the rest of the universe. The Pachad Yitzchak puts it, Rav Huttner, Adam Hamamik et Hacharato B'Tzelem Elokim Shebo. So what are we supposed to do with that free will? Well, if we want to have the really emphasize, really deepen the that sense of being created in the image of God, then you have to increase as well. Kabbalat ol machut shamayim. We're supposed to do with that free will is accept God's will freely. This gulat habechira, he yatzel melokim shabadak. This literally the treasure. This gift of free will is the tzel melokim, is the image of God. So making good choices is using your tzel melokim, image of God, appropriately. In there's nothing glorifying that ability to have free will, that characteristic, than using it to Praise Hashem, serve Hashem. So that's the difference between the Hallelu of Shamayim and that half of Aretz. That's the top part of this Perek and the last part of it, which is us. The great universe sings the praise of God simply by existing. So we do that as well, right? We sing praise of God because we exist and our bodies are a miracle and we know that. And the fact that I can wake up in the morning is a miracle. The fact that Hashem created coffee, that is clearly a miracle as well. So, truth that God loves us. And so that, you know, and so we say, Elokeinu Shama, and we say, Asher Yatzar, those brachot, to thank Hashem for the physical side of it. But there's more than that. We're capable of more than just being. So this idea of what that the universe is praising Hashem, we've talked about that before in Tilim Yud Tet 19, which is the one that starts with Hashemayim Mesaprim Kavod Kel, that the heavens describe the glory of God. Masei Adav Magid Rakia, the sky tell of his actions. You know, Mer Dein Devarim, but there are no words. And it's not literally, there's no one actually singing out there. Nishma kolam, there's no voice to be heard, right? And we know this idea here. And there's a wonderful story in the beginning of Perek Shira. Now, Perek Shira is, it's a midrashic collection, I think 900,000 or so, that goes through all the animals, all the parts of the universe, and says that each of them sing a certain pasuk to God. And that all together, that is the choir, the orchestra of the universe, praising Hashem. Putting words to this Shemayim Saprim Kvod Kel. But the introduction of that has the following story. Amar Rav Tzeinu Zal, that the Medrash in Yalkut Shimon, he says, David HaMelech Lavashah, talking about David. As soon as David finished Tehillim, Zachar Dato Olav, he was very proud of himself. He knew this was going to be a global bestseller. This was awesome. Amar l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David says to God, Yesh b'riya shebarata b'lamecha, is there anyone, anything that you've created the entire world, she'omeret shirot shebachot yuteri meni, who praises you, who says these, who has written songs greater than mine. That moment, a frog came up to him. Umbrella. David, and the frog says, David. And I immediately at this point had to look up Aristophanes, the frog, the play where Dionysus is looking for the greatest poet. This is Greek, now nothing to do with Tragedia. Looking for the greatest poet of all time, and he can't do it because all these frogs are staying there croaking and croaking and croaking and annoying him. So, seems to be a general theme that frogs are better than human poets. So the frog comes to him and says, David, don't be so proud of yourself. Because I praise God better than you do. Whoa, even more than that. Every time I sing, there are 3,000 levels of metaphor, of mashal, in everything that I say. The proof of that is, it says about Shlomo. Shlomo was the wisest human being of all time, and he had to learn his mashalim from nature. And that's the pasuk in Malachim talking about how wise Shlomo was. He said 3,000 parables, Bishiro, Hamishaba Elef, and he added 1,005 songs. And it's by the Beryl Eitzim, Umina Erez, Asher Bovano, Barizov, Asher Yotze Bakir. And the post continues that he would talk literally about, he knew about plants and the trees and the weeds, by the Beryl Behema, Bala Oak, Bala Remes, Bala Gim, and he knew about the animals and the creeping things. And reading it drastically, and that's where he learned these mishalim from being able to listen to the trees and the animals and the birds. The frog, you know, not only does it sing more, it also has deeper meaning than anything David does. And more than that, the frog says, so. I do better mitzvahs than you too. I have a great mitzvah. What's my mitzvah? This is a mitzvah that I do. Yes, bisvatayam min echel. There is an animal in on the seashore, in the littoral zone. She'ein parnasoki imen amayim, that eats food from the water. V'shashu ra'ev, and when it's hungry, notzleni v'ochleni, it eats me. And that's my mitzvah. I'm part of the food chain. Yay me. Hayei mashin amar, and that's what it means to say, im ra'ev sanecha hachlechu lechem. Right, quoting Shlomo again, that if your enemy is hungry, feed him bread. Im samei ashkei v'mayim, thirsty, give him water. Hashem yishalem lach. And Hashem will literally pay you back. Antikra yishalem lach, el yishalem lach. Don't read it as a payback, but it will make you complete, right? That you will be complete when you serve your role, even though you're being consumed by your enemies. That's the frog's praise of Hashem. That's the frog's mitzvah. And in fact, in Parashira, what does the frog say? Parashira, and it's Tzvardeya Omeret, and Rabbi Slifkin in his Parashira says it's the frog is, not the frog says, not literally, the frog is saying. If you hear what the, if you can listen what real frog means, it's the, what the frog is saying is, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto L'Olam Ve'ed. Our understanding of what the angels say when they're praising Hashem. That's the story of the frog. Pray for Tehillim. Instead of reading all this Tehillim, we should go listen to frogs. Which, at least in St. Louis, you get them in the middle of the night, pretty loud. And as Robert Foyer puts it in the introduction to Tehillim, says, well, kind of obvious, right? The frogs actually compose songs. No, the very concept beyond our comprehension. Yet the song of the frog is that which is sung by the heavenly angels. Indeed, frogs have no need to compose music and lyrics as we understand them. The most wonderful frog can sing is being itself. Just being a frog is celebrating Hashem's creation of the world. And that's what we interpret back in Perek Yud Tet. It's talking about the heavens proclaim the glory of God without words. And then it says about the sun, that the sun comes out and its power is visible throughout the world. Usually translated, there's nothing hidden from its heat, talking about the sun. But I think, I forget who said that originally, if I'm quoting myself here from this year, that I would read, there's nothing hidden from its sunniness. There's nothing hidden from being a sun. There's no choices. The sun just is. The laws of physics are fine, and now, boom, it's done. It's doing a perfect job of being. As before I put, continues, the most wonderful service the frog can render is to faithfully live out its life, playing its role in the biological cycle. Right? It's doing a mitzvah by being eaten. It's part of the food chain. It will maintain the harmonious order of the world. When all parts of creation merge together in perfect order, this is itself the most impressive song of praise, extolling the magnificence of God's handiwork. So that's the way this section, the Shemayim part ends and introduces the Eretz part. It ends with Yalu Hashem Hashem, Kihu Tziva Nivrao. They praise God because He created, He commanded, and it was created. Vayimidem La'ad La'olam, and they exist forever. Chok Natan Lo Yavar. Rav Hirsch points that Chok Natan is actually a single phrase. It's a given law that cannot be violated. The laws are permanent. There's no, they have no choice in the matter. It's very depressing. We, because of free will, we make mistakes, so we can never be as good a human being as a frog can be in a frog. We'll never praise Hashem as well as frogs can croak. Not upon both ways, both in their speaking and in their dying, they're also croaking in the service of God, right? Part of the universe there. What do we do with that, right? Okay, now what? Obviously, I can just simply be a biological being and then I'll be a perfect human being by, I mean, what human beings are created to run and throw. We're pretty good predators. The brain thing, that's kind of incidental, right? We have binocular vision, so we can aim our rocks. We got opposable thumbs, we can throw our rocks. We got feet to run with and we can sweat. We should be just predators out there in the savannah. And in fact, I think that's part of the symbolism when it talks about in this parak, when it talks about, let me go back and look at that over here. Ends with Halu Shemei Shemayim, praise him, the highest heavens, the heavens on the above the heavens, the water above the heavens, very weird idea. And doesn't appear anywhere else in Tehillim. Okay, we're kind of almost, we have no idea what that even means. It's very Kabbalistic here, which I think there's a hint of it here as to what that what we're saying about that. And that idea of Mayim Asher Me'al Shamayim, the water that's above the heaven, that obviously comes from Bereshit, when God creates the world. God says, let there be a firmament. I'm not sure what a firmament is, except it's a translation for rakia, which in modern Hebrew mostly is the bedrock, the background. But there's a barrier in the midst of the water.
Yeah, in modern Hebrew was horizon.
Horizon, okay. I'll take that. So that goes with the rakia as the sky. Yeah. Rekha is the background, right?
Yeah.
Same root there. There's something underlying and overlying that divides between water and water. It says that Vayomer Elokim hi rakia b'toch hamayim, and God said, let there be a rakia in the midst of the water that's somehow over the earth, and it's divided between the water above and water below. Vayaseh Elokim et rakia, and so God made this rakia. Vayadel ben hamayim asher mitach l'rakia, and it's divided between the water that's below the rakia, below the heavens, uvein hamayim asher me'al rakia, and the water that was above the heavens. Now there's water above the rakia, the firmament. Vayikain, that's what it was. This pasuk really upset Shimon ben Zoma. We all remember ben Zoma from the story of the Arba Nechnesu Paradise, the four went into Paradise. And one of them went inside. So I know how dangerous Paradise is, Suzanne, but the story of the four went into Paradise. One of them went insane, one died, one became a heretic. We'll look at that story. Ben Zoma was one of them. This is Shimon ben Zoma. And it says, Vayas Elokim at Rakia. God made the Rakia. Ze'achad min ha-mekro'ot she-hir-ish ben Zoma ta'olam. This is one of the psukim that made Ben Zoma literally fill the world with noise. He was screaming, and he was the one who went insane, right? This blew his mind. This is Vayas. When you read it, we don't realize how awful that is. Like Vayas Atmaha, you really mean that God had made it? Hello, Bamamarhin, right? God said, it says, Dvar Hashem Shemayim Nasu, Ruach Piv Kol Tzva'am, right? That God creates the heavens and the earth with the word, right? Because what happens in this pasuk that doesn't happen anywhere else in Bereshit, it's Vayomer Elokim Hirakia, God says, and the next pasuk is Vayasi makes it. Everywhere else, God says and it happens. Somehow this involved that God saying it didn't work. Some separation here between the word and the action. Rashi says that Hashem had to rebuke the Rakia. Rakia said no. No, I don't want to become, I don't want to do any separation. Hashem had to force it to do that. What does that mean? I have no idea. Okay, but this really bothered Ben Zoma. The Rakia had to be forced to become to existence. So we're going to look at the story of Ben Zoma. And it comes in the Tosefta in Chagiga. The introductory story is Masib Rabbi Yeshua. The incident happened with Rabbi Yeshua, who was sort of the Tanaim of the generation of destruction of the Beit Midash. Ben Zoma and his colleagues was the next generation. So he was senior to them. He was walking on a sidewalk, really a wood paved road that keeps your feet from getting dirty. But yeah, Ben Zoma bat kneto. And he saw Ben Zoma coming toward him. It's slow. Ben Zoma got to him as they're walking on down this istrata. So the tunnel shalom, and Ben Zoma didn't say anything to him. Now, for most of us, we didn't notice anything because we're all on our phones anyway. We don't notice anyone. But Zoma's head's written in his clouds. He wasn't paying any attention. So Amar Lo, so Rabbi Yeshua says to Ben Zoma, I am Ben Zoma. Where are you coming from? Where are you going? What's going on, Ben Zoma? Amar Lo. So Ben Zoma tells back to him. So fe hayiti b'masa bereshit. I was thinking about the nature of creation. Right? That's always a mistake. Don't do that. The aim ben mayim yodim mayim tachtonim el tefach. And I realized that the separation between the upper waters and the lower waters was less than a hand's breadth. This rakia that was made, that I don't understand, it's really thin. It's says, Nema Ruach Elokim Rachepet Al Pnei Hamayim, that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And it says, Kinesha Yerkino, Yagazov Yerchef, and like it weigh an eagle, or a vulture, how do you translate that, covers over its young. That's what hovering, right? Ruach Elokim is hovering over the water. Just like the Nesher is flying and it's almost just barely touching its nest. That's what hovering is, Yerachif. So to the upper waters, she's saying the Ruach, that the upper waters is the Ruach Elokim. Spirit of God, the nature of Nevuah, what we call Ruach HaKodesh, that's just barely touching the Mayim Tachtonim that's here on earth. The Zoma says this. Omar Lahem Rabbi Yeshua L'Tamidav. So Rabbi Yeshua turns to his students who are with him after they met Rabbi Zoma, and he says, Kvar ben Zoma Mibachut. Zoma's lost it. He had a starry eye and whatever he was on. He's already, Ben Zoma's already gone. It was only a few days later, Ben Zoma literally, he left. He went completely mad. Don't think too much about the Mayim Elyonim and Mayim Tachtonim, because thinking about that kind of deep stuff will drive you crazy. And that is part of what that story of Arba Nichnasu L'Pardes. That's the story of the four who went into the Pardes, literally into the orchard, was Joey stood up trying to understand these Kabbalistic, these very mystical ideas. And it was Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Acher, Elisha Ben Abua, Rabbi Akiva, the four of them. And it says, Ben Azai hitzitz v'mit, Ben Azai looked and died, Ben Zoma hitzitz v'nifka. Ben Zoma looked into it and was literally struck. Joey stood as loss of mind. Elisha hitzitz v'kitzitz v'nateyot, Elisha ben Abua is the one who looked in there and started chopping down the trees. He's the one who became Acher, became a heretic. And Rabbi Akiva, Allah b'shalom, Rabbi Shalom, Rabbi Akiva, went in, came out. He did fine learning all of that. But I assume everyone who learns in Pardes is at the level of a Rabbi Akiva. And after that, it says, Od mashlu mashal. Here's a metaphor for what happened. L'mad devar domeh. The Istrita. Remember we talked about the Istrita? They're walking on Istrita. That was turned out important because that became the metaphor for what you need to do. It's a walkway. Hoverif and Shnei Drachim that goes between two different, the walkway that's between two sides. Achad Shor, you've got fire on one side, Achad Shelag and snow on the other side of your walkway. Yitalachan Nichve Ba'or. If you walk too far on one side, you're being burned. Yitalachan Nichve Ba'Shelag. Walk too far on the other side, you're frozen. Trying to learn these things, very narrow path. Ma'alav shu al adam, so what do you want to do? Balech ba'emsa, you got to go straight in the narrow path there. Bavashliya, notelo lachan lachan, don't go either side of here. You're going to learn these sorts of things. Be very careful. But that becomes this overlying idea of what the, and I think that's what he's hinting at here, what the mayim shema'al shamayim he's hinting at, is that there are these higher forces that we really don't understand, and it's kind of dangerous to get too involved in that. You really can't handle it. And that's the Mayim Elyonim, identified as the Ruach Elokim. But it's only a hand breadth thick. It's really close. You feel like you could almost touch it, but we can't reach it. It drives him mad. That's Ben Zoma. So when David is saying that, Yahalu is Mayim Asher Mayal Shamayim, that the water above the heavens, praise God, reminds us of our limitations. Okay, we're not as good as the frogs in terms of how we serve Hashem and how we praise Hashem. Can't understand everything that we want to understand. We have this hint of Tzelem Elokim, and it's not enough. So what's the point? Just give up? Until he ends, the answer is no. So it says, Yahalu Hashem Hashem. All of them, the Bachur, Gambatula, Zakenim, Im Narim, young and old, men and women, should all praise Hashem. Ki Niskav Shemo Levado. I would read ki here as despite, even though God is uniquely exalted. we can't understand everything. And Hodoa Er Shemayim, which is said that his real praise, his real splendor is in the heavens and the earth. Even hold there in the sense of an echo, right? It reflects God's glory. Hashem doesn't need our praise, doesn't need hallelujah, but Hashem still wants us to praise him. We are supposed to praise Hashem even though Hashem is God of Ado. Of course, we have free will and can do that. Shlomi Baumol actually cites the Piyur from Yom Kippur that we say. Those who pay attention to all those cues, him. One of the ones in Musaf is Asher Ematacha. That your fear is on the faithful angels, Barbire Omes, with a powerful one, the angels. So the Lule Kerach, those who are in the Kerach, in the holy ice that we talked about last time, the metaphor, but that's what separates our understanding from this vision, from Yeshezkel's vision of the Merkabah, the heavenly throne. This is the ice you can see through, but you can't reach. The Dude Kedah, those who are alone in the flame, Umar Achalaham, those are the angels. Your fear is on them. The angels serve you. Babita Tilan, still Hashem, you want praise from human beings. Migulume Gush, from physical golems, from mute bodies, migare gay, from those who dwell in the valley, like the gates of the valley of the shadow of death. That's us. God still wants our praise. Midulule poa, for those who are poor in action, midale mas, similarly poor in action, pito techa, that is your praise. So that's what this last line adds up to, is bayarim kerlamo, God is giving, increasing the pride of his people. Tila lechol chasev, praise that belongs to his chassidim. That Hashem doesn't need the praise that we described of the heavens and earth. Hashem wants it ours. That the cost of our free will, our capacity to yield to our desire, capacity to rise above our frailty. We can make mistakes and we can get better. That's why we're rewarded by God, who decides to hear our praise, the praise of all we hear. That comes back to, well, why bother? Why not praise Hashem the way the frogs do it? Just be a human being. Why do I have to think about it and be imperfect? Why can't I just live my biological life? And the answer is, because if that's the way we relate to Hashem, then we're missing the whole point of creation. All this wonder creation was created in order to allow us to exist. That's the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Komar Hashem, im lo b'riti yomam b'layla, if it weren't for my covenant that it exists for a day and night, kot shamayim ba'aretz lo samti, I would not have established the laws of physics, the laws of heaven and earth. That's what the Maran Pesachim, Maran Lazar, Imalei Torah, Lodikaima Shemaim Ba'aretz. If it wasn't for the Torah, for Bnei Yisrael accepting the Torah, then the heavens and earth would not exist, as it says, Imlo Bariti Yomam Balayas, not for my Brit. The Rashi on this pasuk doesn't think that fits the pshat. He says, Bariti Yomam Balayas is part of the same physics, and it's all part of the condition. From Hashem, if my covenant with the day and night, that the day and night exist, and the laws of heaven and earth don't exist, then the rest of the parak, then I wouldn't keep an Israel either. That's Rashi understands the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. It's impossible that I will not keep the law, God saying, I will not keep the laws of physics going. There'll be a time that day and night will happen in that time. And it's impossible, I will never violate the laws of physics. That's all part of the thing. See, Rabbatina Darshuhu in Brit HaTorah. But the midrash on that was that this is Brit HaTorah. Because of the Torah that God created heavens and earth. Achena midrash Mushab, I'll say that Mikra'ot. Rashi says it doesn't fit the context here. But I don't know, because Yirmiyahu makes the same point earlier. They think very much. Makes the same point. Because Rima said, Kom Hashem, so saith the Lord. In Tifru et Briti Hayom vet Brit HaLaila. If you violate my covenant of day and a night, and presumably that's the Torah, that you need to serve Hashem day and night, and then Levitia Yomam v'Laila v'Itam, and then day and night would no longer happen in their time. God created the world in order for us to serve Him with our free will, except the Torah. So that's what the last pasuk means. Vayerem Karen La'amo, God brings, really, makes his people important, raises their horn. As the idiom goes, raises their pride, Kilala Kol Chasidav, and that allows his praise to belong to all those Rechasim, not just the Jews, everyone, all human beings. Bnei Yisrael Ang Provo, and that's because of Bnei Yisrael, who were the ones who were Provo, who were brought closer to Hashem, right? Kervanu Lefnei Har Sinai, and that's where we end in Hallelujah. So that all the universe may sing the praise of Hashem, but we're the soloists. The Malbim summarizes it. Yarim Karen La'amo, God will raise the pride of his people. Yisrael Hidrova Mu'mir Ha'olam HaShafel, that Yisrael have brought higher from this lowly world, La'lopah HaShem, to go up the mountain of God. So it goes back to Mount HaSinai. Behem Ya'aluba HaRakodesh, they went up the mountain, Elosh HaSulam, to the top of the ladder, the Yisrael HaShem, they, Bnei Yisrael, to get close to God. Metaphorically. This is the praise for all of those who are faithful. That's pious one. Those are the ones who can truly praise Hashem. Those who climb the sulam, who actually try to get closer to Hashem, who strive to get better. You can't just stay in one place. So now it brings back this tila, the chasidim, at the end of human beings, back to the original pesukim of the pasuk shepatach ba haluya ba meromim, that God is praised up on high, and we can do that. Higam hem yalu maram, because we can also go up high. Vehem am kovo, that is the people who get close to Hashem. We end with a symphony of the universe, but we need our singing as well with our Torah, Avodah Gemilah Chasadim. And that's the message of this parak.
Danny, the Karen, is that part of the whole, like, Jews have horns thing? It's like another image of horns and Jews.
I don't know. Right. The usual is understand that the Quran Pnei Moshe, that
Moshe, right.
Face was kind of, right. That King James translates as horns. I don't know. I don't think that. I guess it could be if you want to have. I guess you could read it that way. Take it literally. The question is, how does it translate in English? What does the King James say? How does the King James Bible translate Yarim Karen Amo? Does it translate as horns or not? You don't actually have horns, by the way.
Is that right? Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is sort of tricky.
Step here,
because on the one hand, we're supposed to be humble. In other words, you know, we're not really better than frogs. We're, we're supposed to praise God, and we're not supposed to be full of ourselves. And then it says, but you know, we can climb this holy mountain. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is hard. That's the dialectic of our relationship Hashem with the world, right? Did you want to show the poster again about you should have two patakim, you should have two notes in your pocket. One says Bishvili Nivra Olam, one says that the world created for me, and the other says Anochi Afav Eper, I'm nothing but dust and ashes. Both of the truth, right? You should be proud of yourself but not full of yourself.
Yes.
The line I like is that humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less.
That's brilliant. Yeah. Hmm. Danny, would you please review the portion about Rabbi Akiva? What do you come with?
Okay, let's go back to Cher. So the story is told that Arba Nichnasu Lapardes, four rabbis literally entered the orchard, paradise. Where we get the word paradise from. Understood as they were trying to understand mysticism. They were trying to learn mysticism. It's Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Acher, and Rabbi Akiva. Four of them were Ben Azai, Shimon Ben Zoma, who's the one we're talking about, who's trying to understand the waters above the heavens. Acher literally means the other one. That was Elisha Ben Abuha, who became a heretic and was it, that's his new name. He was called after that point. He was called the other. We're not going to mention by name again. And Rabbi Akiva. And it's told that after they enter this Pardes and they're learning, and that Ben Azai hitzitz v'mit. Ben Azai looked in, died. And I strongly recommend Milton Steinberg, right? The Acid Driven Leaf.
Yeah, that was a great book.
Everyone's read that? You see this over here?
It was out of print for a long time, but now I think you can get it.
Okay, well, this one's falling apart because it's been so well read. This is, it's a novelization, basically, of this story. But as I learning these things and committing suicide because it was just too overwhelming. Ben Zoma, hitzitz v'nifka. Ben Zoma looked in the orchard, v'nifka, and he was struck ill. And it started being a mental illness. Handle it. Elisha looked into the orchard, the hitzitz v'nitiyot, and started chopping down the trees in the metaphor. Okay, that's his turn to heresy. Rabbi Akiva, Allah b'shalom b'yar b'shalom. Rabbi Akiva is the only one who went in peace, came out in peace. He learned this and retained his composure and his faith. That's the story of Rabbi. That was the story of Rabbi Akiva and Ben Zoma. Mm-hmm. And it goes into the metaphor of the walkway. That you need to stay on the sidewalk. You go into the street on one side, you're in trouble. Go on the street on the other side. You got to stay in this narrow pathway that's paved there.
Yeah. Thank There's you.
Some things that are just too deep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So we will try to remain sane.
So just on the narrow pathway, you know, it's like Kol Ha'olam Kulo Gesher Tzar Ma'od. Sort of similar image.
Yeah. I don't know if that's talking about learning or the nature of the physical word is dangerous. The world is a dangerous place. You're walking your path, but the ikar is not, don't be afraid, that you'll be all fine with that.
Thank you.
It's a little different meaning to the metaphor.
Thanks, Danny.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll stop here.
Thank you.
Recording. Right.
Stay on the path.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm going to go?
Yeah.
Bye, all. Thank you. Bye.